delighted to have as my guest today Jed Graham, who's touring at the moment with the Dubliners Story, Seven Drunken Nights. How are you, Jed?
I'm very good. I'm very good indeed. Yeah, just landed up at the next theatre for tonight's show. So, yeah, and the sun's shining, so it's great. All's good in the world.
Can't be bad, can it? And it's been a long time with the Seven Drunken Nights tour. At least that tour has been going for 10 years, hasn't it?
Yeah, this is our 10th anniversary year, so it has been going a long time, and this tour has been out now since the beginning of March. Oh, actually, the middle of February, we were in Scandinavia. So, yeah, we're about 10 weeks into this part of the tour, and another 6 or 7 weeks to go.
Yeah, and it must be good, because it's lasted 10 years.
Yeah, well, look, the audience love the show. We love doing the show. It's a great night out, and, you know, it's... In the world today, you need a bit of escapism, and I think that's what Seven Drunken Nights gives to people. It gives them 2 hours away from all the nonsense of the world, and they can just let the hair down, if you've still got hair left. And, yeah, just have a great sing and clap along. You don't have to be Irish to enjoy the show. It's just 2 hours of escapism.
It is, and that's what you think about when you think about Irish music, isn't it? It's that foot tapping and, you know, roaring at the top of your voice as well, isn't it?
Oh, very much so. I mean, the thing is, it's like it's about immersion. You know, getting everybody who's in the audience immersed into the show. It's their show. It's not our show. It's their show. We want them to come and join themselves, join in, sing along, clap along, have a bit of a cry when the sad songs are on, have a bit of laughter when the funny bits are there, and just have that 2 hours of just joy.
Yeah, and the great thing about Irish music as well, it fits any sort of arena. It fits an arena, but you can also go into a smoky little bar, an intimate situation, and you can enjoy it there as well, can't you?
That's very much the case. I mean, it is, you know, you can, as you say, a smoky little pub, bar, but it's great to enjoy the music there, and you can enjoy it in a big concert hall. And that's what we try to create on stage. We have a pub, which is the set that we use to tell the story. And it makes the show more intimate and a little bit more accessible. We want the audience to feel like they just walked into a little pub in Dublin. There's music going on in the corner, and they're like part of that little thing that's happening. And that's the feedback we get from our audience. They feel it's an intimate show, and they feel really part of it.
Is the bar on stage a recreation of Donoghue's, where the Dubliners first started?
It's kind of it tips a wink and a nod to Old Donoghue's, which is my favourite pub in Dublin. Anyhow, it's a great bar, but it's just really trying to get that sort of Irish pub atmosphere. Lots of memorabilia up on the wall, pictures and little ornaments and things that, you know, people may not notice when they first see the show, but as they go through the show, they pick up little bits here and there. So we're quite authentic with everything that we put on stage.
Yeah, we don't understand, I don't remember really, that it started nearly 70 years ago, didn't it, the band, but it had the name of the lead singer, didn't it, as the band itself.
That's right, yeah, it was originally called the Ronnie Drew Ballad Group, and then and some of the publications got the name wrong and called it a Ronnie Drew Ballet Group, which is a very different thing altogether. But yeah, it started in 1962, would you believe? And here we are in 2026, and the music is still as relevant, it's still as exciting, and it's still the music of the people.
And of course, the band itself, the new name of the band, wasn't just because you came from Dublin, was it?
No. I mean, the story goes that Luke Kelly, who was an avid reader, he was like always reading books or, you know, newspapers, magazines. He was sat in a pub with Ronnie, and he said, "Look, we need to sort this name out." Ronnie wasn't happy about being called the Ronnie Drew Ballad Group and having the weight of that on his shoulders. And Luke was reading a book called Dubliners, a book of short stories by James Joyce, and he said, "Look, we're all from Dublin. Why don't we call ourselves the Dubliners?" And that's how the name was born.
Yeah, and You went through, and people again only seem to know you for, or know the band, or famously from Seven Drunken Nights, which you only ever hear 6 nights for obvious reasons, and the Black Velvet Band. But of course, there was far more to them than that, wasn't there? Especially the time with the Pogues.
Oh, I mean, the thing is, like, if you think of, you know, all the famous Irish songs from Whiskey in the Jar, Dirty Old Town, The Irish Rover, The Wild Rover, Black Velvet Band, all those songs that are now part of just the, you know, the part of the whole sort of heritage of Irish music were all done originally by the Dubliners. They were like the spiritual godfathers of the music. And when they teamed up with the Poles, I think it was 1987, 1988, they done the first recording with the Poles, which was the Irish Rover. It just catapulted them back into the public eye, and they had a new energy and a new audience. And, you know, a lot of artists looked back and went, oh, wow, you know, these guys were the originals. You know, they were the real deal. So, yeah, they've got a huge legacy. And if it wasn't for the Dubliners, you wouldn't have had the Pogues, or you wouldn't have U2 or Thin Lizzy, or, you know, the major Irish artists that we see on tour today, because they opened up. They opened up the general public to the idea that to Irish music. So it's, they have a great legacy in Irish culture.
And I'm assuming that that's what you will play through your set, that you will show the different sectors of their life and so on.
Yeah, we do. I mean, we start off in the pub in Dublin in 1962 and recreate those kind of sessions, and then we take it all the way through to their appearance on Top of the Pops in 1967, that finishes our act one, and then we come back in act two and develop the story further, right up until they, you know, they had the collaboration with the Pogues, and then it's all about legacy then. It's all about the legacy that the Dubliners left to the world and to Irish music. And more importantly, to enjoyment.
Yeah.
You know, they're a group that gave us a soundtrack for a great night out.
Absolutely did. And of course, they probably stopped at the right time, didn't they? When the sort of, was it when the last person had died, or was about, you know?
Yeah. When Barney McKenna, who was the last original member of the group, and he passed away in 2012, rightly so, they decided to retire the name. And it brought to an end 50 years from 1962 to 2012, 50 years of making music, traveling around the world, making people happy. And that was the real catalyst for me wanting to put the show together, was that, you know, I just didn't want this music just to disappear. So we worked hard between 2012 and 2017 to bring the show to life and still carry on the legacy of that music.
Yeah, and I'm sure you get big audiences everywhere you go.
Oh, we do. I mean, look, the audiences are fantastic. They come out and they have a great night out. Be it a Saturday night in Glasgow or a Tuesday night in Epsom or wherever it is, we still have a great night every time we come out on tour. There's a great loyalty out there from the fans who come and see the show, have been with us for 10 years, and we have new people come to see the show every week, and it's great. It's good fun.
And Jed Graham himself is quite an evangelist, isn't he, for Irish music and Irish culture?
Oh, very much so. I mean, it's part of my DNA, you know. I've been involved in Irish shows for about the last 25 years, really since Riverdance came out. My first sort of theatre shows were sort of Irish dance-based shows, and I've, you know, toured the world with those. And I had a show out called Fairy Tale in New York, a Christmas show. Got a new Christmas show coming out this year called Christmas in Ireland, which carries on the legacy of Irish music. So if you can imagine, that show is about, if you imagine St. Patrick's Day meets the best Christmas party you've ever been to in a pub in Dublin on Christmas Eve. So it brings a real spirit of Christmas, the spirit of Ireland, happy songs, sad songs, and just great crack. So yeah, I'm always working on new Irish inspired projects.
And you're a broadcaster and podcaster too, as well, aren't you?
Yeah, I do. I do podcasts. I'm working on a new business podcast at the moment. So that's as I'm getting into my later years, because I'm 65 this year. I'm 65 in a few weeks. So I've got a new podcast coming out next year called Old Dog New Tricks.
Right.
Which is, you know, because us old boys, boys and girls out there who've been through life a little bit, we've got a few little things we can pass on, a few little tips and tricks that we can pass on. And, you know, I embrace all the new things that are happening, AI and, you know, the new marketing stuff that's happening in the world. It's an exciting place to live, the world. You know, it's an exciting place to live, and music is an exciting thing to be involved with. It's just as exciting now as it was in the 60s. You just have to look a little bit deeper. So, yeah, I'm a very busy guy.
Yeah, just like you, I am growing older too, but it is necessary to embrace modern technology and modern techniques, isn't it, to keep yourself going, really, as much as anything.
Of course it is. I mean, the thing is, you know, our outward bodies may look old and decrepit, and the legs might not work as well, but inside of us is the 7-year-old kid that had a huge imagination. That's inside all of us. And every now and again, we've got to let that come out and, just be inquisitive and look at new things and not be judgmental. Just, you know, see the world through the eyes of a 7-year-old, and it's a very exciting place.
Yeah, my family always say, why haven't you stopped? Why haven't you given up now? You've done everything. Yeah. Stop it. But I keep on saying, no, I've got so many other things I want to do. And every day another thing comes up and I think, I'd like to try that as well.
Yeah, it's fantastic, isn't it? You've got to have that energy and that, like, you know, to be able to see the world as a 7-year-old, and it makes life brilliant. You know, I listen to new music all the time. I watch films, I go to plays, I write, I read books, I have a great family life, and, you know, hopefully another 20, 30 years, the way medical things are keeping us alive, will keep us going for another few years.
Absolutely. Just going back to the show that you got then, if somebody went 10 years ago and said, right, I'm going to go again to celebrate the 10th anniversary, has the show evolved at all over the years? Have you changed it? Will it be new?
Yeah, it evolves all the time. I mean, it evolves, you know, it evolves tour by tour. Because we look at how we can, you know, make the audience. We, you know, one night we might go, that works really well. Let's try a little bit more of that kind of thing. Or that's not working as well. We try to put some new songs in. They work better than the old songs. So it's a continuous thing. And that's music. You know, the great thing about live music is it reinvents itself every time you play it, especially Irish music. You know, and we play, you know, we play live, so that's a great energy that we have on stage. And yeah, it's not something that we just sort of, we create a script and that's it for the next 10 years. It's like almost on a nightly basis, we're trying new things out and just pushing the envelope a little bit.
And I would imagine the Regent Theatre is a really good place to play music and see theatre and so on. And I imagine you played there before and had tremendous receptions, because music does get tremendous receptions from there.
Oh, yeah. I mean, the thing is, you've got to try new things all the time, you know. And touring around theatre is fantastic, because every night you have the chance to do it again. You know, where if you're a filmmaker, you make a film, and that, or you're an artist, you make an album, that's it. You have one chance to get it right, and you got to live with it for the rest of your life. But with theatre, you get to do it every night, and you get to feel the energy of the audience. You know, when the audience go with you on something, you're having a funny moment, and the audience go with you, it changes the whole dynamic of the performance, and that's the exciting thing about live theatre.
And for you personally, is every night a great, you know, going on stage is just like going on stage for the first time?
Oh, it is. I mean, you look, when you're a kid, you know, I always go back to being my 7-year-old self. You're a bit of a show off when you're a kid, you know, look, mum and dad, look at me doing this. You know, I've managed to, you know, build an aeroplane, or managed to, you know, not fall off my bike today. That's a bit like how I am now. It's like you want people to look at you and go, oh, that was great. You know, you embrace that inner child, and every night you get a chance to go out and show off a little bit. Not in a kind of egotistical way, but a chance to say, look, you know, this is what I really enjoy doing. I love singing, I love playing, I love making people enjoy themselves, make them happy, as do the rest of the cast. So to get the opportunity to do that every night is a huge privilege.
And time to give one last plug for Seven Drunk Nights, A Story of the Dubliners. Why should we go and see it?
Just to escape for those 2 hours. You're going to have 2 hours of great fun, great crack. You'll laugh a lot, you'll clap a lot, you'll have a bit of a dance, you might have a little tear in your eye on the sad songs. We want you to go out of that theatre happier than when you walked in, and we're very successful in doing that.
Jed, thanks very much. It's been a great interview. Really enjoyed speaking to you. I hope you've enjoyed speaking to me too.
I certainly have. I always do. Thank you so much for taking the time.
No problem whatsoever.